Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Welcome to Red Storm Chasers. I'm Vincent here with Craig. On this episode, we'll look back at the monumental win over Marquette. And we'll look ahead to the UConn game. Craig, how are you doing?
Tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. I can still feel like I'm about to run through a wall after that win. It just was incredible. It's just incredible.
Really a dominant moment for St. John's. 9 in a row, first time since the 84-85 season. You know, obviously, we were number 12 coming into the game. We beat number 11. Also, some losses in the top 10. This UConn matchup, which we'll talk about a little bit later, could result in us being a top 10 team. But this win is the win that got us there to start with, the Marquette win. Before we get into the Marquette game, as obviously we're both very excited to talk about it, got to do our starting five, as we always do. Craig, you weren't here last show. We'll start with your starting five to catch up. Last week, our starting five, and this week, our starting five, just for Craig, will be your starting five moments at a Madison Square Garden game. Obviously, the Marquette game, a Madison Square Garden game. So, fresh in the mind.
Very fresh in the mind. So, I would say, first, I'm going to go to my go-to food of choice. Ah. Which is the Daily Burger. Love the Daily Burger.
It's funny. Neither of me nor Nick said food last night. Well, I guess we sort of did. I'll give you a little rundown of ours after you're done. The Daily Burger. Sorry.
Daily Burger is great. It's great. I always get that when I go there. So that's the number one. I'm going to say the ceiling, which is obviously iconic, but I always love looking up at it at, you know, at random points, which is good. I'm going to say the feel of the crowd when there's a big game.
We will
talk much more in depth about the crowd on Tuesday, but the feeling of a big game and it gets loud and the crowd gets up. The way coming from New Jersey, which is obviously a personal thing, but the way that a game at the Garden, especially a big game, takes over Penn Station. And everybody is there. Seemingly, everybody's there for the game, right? There's lots of. I mean, there's obviously other people, but for the most, you got to see a million sweatshirts, jackets, a
ton of traffic coming up those stairs, crossing underneath Penn Station to come up the stairs. For those of you who come to the train now, who don't come from outside, you get to see the marquee. If you come from the train, you actually don't, because you go underneath Penn Station and then come up the other stairs that go right into the lobby. Which is awesome. I love that. I actually love that part too. I think that kind of adds to the lore, if you will, of Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. No, it definitely is cool.
You got one more.
I got one more. I'm going to say the one more is coming down the No, I take that back. I was going to say coming down the escalators after a win, but
That was actually one of mine. Mine was going up and coming down. Most people take the stairs down, but taking the escalators down also. The escalator is a great part of Madison Square Garden. But if that's not your fifth one, you know, you got one more.
No, I'm going to think that's my fifth one.
All right. Fair enough. That was one of mine. The ceiling was also one of Nick's. Iconic, like you talked about. The Daily Burger, I like that you went with food because we didn't. I talked about the cups.
Yeah, you know me. So, you know, food obviously had to be in there for me.
For sure. Makes sense. Good choices, though. Good starting five. A little real run back from last week. But it leads us into, obviously, talking about Madison Square Garden and talking about, more importantly, the win over Marquette. 70-64 on Tuesday night. It was... I lived up to the billing, to be completely honest. I was excited for this game from the morning of. Ready, 11 versus 12. Big matchup. We're, you know, rolling 8 in a row at this point. You know, it's the matchup we've wanted for years. It's our biggest game since 1999.
I would argue 100%. I mean, regular season-wise, for absolutely sure. To your point, I mean, like, I couldn't – I was like, I don't want to do work today. I got to do work today. Like, I was literally, like, counting down the hours until I got to go to the Garden because it was just, like – it was all I could think about. And it was – It did not disappoint.
It absolutely did. It was a phenomenal game from start to finish. So obviously, first half, we're down by 1.5. Second half, just like we always do as a second half team, we come out and the second half, we 8-0 run to start, get that lead, and we just ran with it from there. Go through the numbers a bit. 42% from the field for St. John's, 41% for Marquette. Pretty close shooting. Actually shot very similar in terms of shot numbers. We're about six. We had six more shots than them, so not pretty close.
And they shot very well in the first half. They were over 50% in both 3-pointers and from the field at the end of the first half. We really did shut them down in terms of that in the second half.
Absolutely,
as we tend to do.
And that's to tell you the truth. That's how we win games, right? Yeah. We just wear you down, which is why your first half can be good, and your first half better be good. Because if your first half isn't good, you really got no shot in the second half. 3-point shooting, the dark mark for St. John's University, but it has to be talked about. We were 3 of 16. That's 18.8%.
Not great.
Not great.
But you know what? I saw this quote on the millions of articles I've read after this and press game, post game stuff. Shaka Smart made a really good point in his post game press conference. He said that, you know, there's 50 things that matter to win a game. And shooting is one of those 50 things. And they do the other 49 really well. So, yeah, it matters and people focus on it a lot, but it's only a very small percentage of the game. We do a lot of other things well, and we are undeterred. We are undeterred. If you listen to the postgame part, we miss free throws, which I'm sure you'll get to in a second, the 3-pointers. For us, it's like, yeah. Just keep shooting. You can't control it. Just keep shooting. Keep getting rebounds. Keep getting pressure.
It's a great mindset, though. And it's funny. So Marquette smartly tried. Marquette shot 32% from three, by the way. They had a decent night for them. They smartly played zone against us, which you would think would be the way to break up a team who can't shoot threes. And it is. Except we are so good at rebounding that it doesn't matter. We'll miss the three. But we'll get the rebound and we'll get the basket anyway.
We annihilated them on the boards.
We were a plus 22 rebound margin. And in terms of offensive rebounding, we out-rebounded them. We had 21 offensive rebounds. They had 5.
Yeah.
Those numbers are ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I mean, you know, we're really good. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And, you know, this... No, I talk about two things. First, I want to talk about the crowd. The crowd on Tuesday night was, I would say, the best crowd I've ever seen at the Garden. Everyone was very loud, very engaged from the moment that the game started. Every possession, every turnover, there were chants going left and right. I can't remember. I'm sure it happened, but. Fans were standing up cheering for free throws across the whole arena, across Madison Square Garden. And when he missed all three, the place went bananas. I mean, there was the crowd stood up and then the ushers had to tell them to sit down, which is a bizarre thing that only happens for us.
Yeah, right. I mean, we get one in the corner, which is like the ideal place to get an inbounds towards the end of the game there. And the usher is like sitting people down. I'm like, what are you doing?
I know.
Cameron Arena, they like touch the players.
I know.
You know what I mean? But no, we can't even have people standing. I mean,
geez. So that was, but that's how into it the crowd was. I mean, the crowd was, it was a very pro St. John's crowd. It was very heavily red and it was very loud from the beginning of the game. And when the thing about the defense is, you know, I think we've all come to learn that the defense is our calling card right now. We're fourth in the country in defense. We're an elite defensive team.
Phenomenal.
When we turn up the heat, the crowd loves it. We've learned to, like, not that you don't always love it, but we really take pride in our defense, and the crowd really reacts. Like, when we were shutting guys down, place was going bananas. And I think the whole crowd stood for the last 4 minutes of the game, almost in its entirety. It was loud, and it was just kudos to the St. John's fans for really showing up and really being very, very loud and making it a real home court advantage.
I mean, the way you know our defense is great, and they talked about it a little bit actually on the Fox broadcast, is at one point you had Zuby out there covering Cam Jones outside, just covering him, not like switching off, waiting for – no, just was covering him. And the ability of a guy like Zuby, obviously the 5, to cover their best player, it shows how talented this defense is.
Oh,
and yeah. We don't need to switch. We're good.
Well, we do switch. Well, I mean, we can switch 1-5. The problem is we switch
all the time. But my point is, if we got a one, you know, a Cam Jones versus Zuby matchup, we're fine. We'll let it rock. Yeah. We'll play this possession out the way it is.
Oh yeah.
Which is
because all of our players can guard every position, which is insane to have. I mean, that's just very, very rare. And
the defensive possession with 1:34 to go. Mm-hmm. If you go and watch that possession, it's where St. John's is up 66-59 at that point. It's the one that seals it. It's the one where it finishes with the Kadari Richmond block in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
That possession is like when the coaches want to show players what good defense looks like, they should just take that clip. There's not a single pass that isn't covered in that possession. There's not a single guy who isn't covered every time they touch the ball. We stop, you know, they try to pass twice for threes. Both guys are covered. They try to swing it around. It's closed off. That possession right there, I think, A, it sealed the game for us, but B, it just shows the heart of this team. This is what we do well. And when we do it well, we do it as good as anybody in the country.
Yeah, I put our defense against anybody in the country. Once we gave up 41 to Georgetown, part of me was like, I'm almost more locked in on the defensive end. Just like, I want them to score 0 points. I want the other team to score literally 0 points. Like, I'm like, we got, how many times can we stop them? It just becomes something to watch.
So it's funny that they had a stat during the game, because I had to watch it at home, that St. John's, it leads the Big East in games where they shoot under 40%. And Marquette was second. But what that goes to show you is, sure, you can make a comment about how our shooting isn't good. But what that really shows me is that our defense is so good that the offensive side, not that it doesn't matter, but it's secondary to our defensive play.
Sure.
If our defensive play is on point, we can be in every game, no matter what we shoot.
That's 100% true. Like Houston as a model of that. Like Houston's been the Final Fours. They've been the top of the game. We're similar in that sense that they have struggled offensively, and we struggle offensively at times. We can also go be dominant. Like we go through it. We're streaky in terms of offense. Listen,
and I think our offense has a little bit too much negativity. We have a pretty solid offense.
We do. We play old school basketball. That's the difference.
Yeah.
We don't shoot threes well, which is not something that's happens now. We're a much better mid-range shooting team. We're much better getting to the basket, which is different. But you know what? It works. So why, you know, hey, it works. That's what matters. Winning is what matters.
Absolutely. And I mean, look, RJ was fantastic in the first half, right? RJ had 17 points, second most on the team. A good portion of those came in the first half where he was dominant. In the second half, Kadari Richmond took over. He finished with 18, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists. Kadari Richmond's turnaround this season has really exploded at the absolute right time for us. You could not have asked for more. He has come on when we needed him to, and he is, I mean, listen, he was the best player on the court in this game. Yep. And a large reason as to why we won.
Absolutely. I mean, he has been too, even with the Providence game. As we saw, he took over there. He's took over now. He's becoming the Kadari Richmond that we all knew him to be from the years past playing him. He can be just deadly, and he can take over a game, and he can get to the basket at will. And his shot is coming along. I mean, his mid-range game. I mean, his three is still a work in progress, but his mid-range game is, if he gets to his spot, like you saw the Providence game,
yeah,
he's going to hit it. And he can be deadly. If he can start knocking down some threes like he did in the last two games, not last game, but against Providence, he is unstoppable. And, you know,
he is. And the best part is he doesn't have to be the only guy, right? We can have RJ, and we've got, you know, Zuby down low, and, you know, Wiltshire and Scott are very good shooters. And if they could, you know, really get going on three-pointers, we are nearly unstoppable. If we could shoot, you know, 30% from three, we would every game.
If we could get, if we hit like six threes in a game, five threes in a game, we're going to win like 90% of those games.
Yeah, I think six is the number.
I think if we hit six, no doubt we win.
I think there's almost no doubt. All right. One thing that we didn't do. So I think we get less credit for, I'm going to say it again, our free throws in this game. We shot 55% from the free throw line, which is not good. I'm not saying it's good. Okay.
Not good.
But in the second half, we shot 59% from the free throw line, which is not great.
It's not good.
Okay. But wait, hold on. However, from the 4:10 minute mark to the end of the game, which is the prime time for free
throws, most important,
when free throws matters the most, we hit 7 of 8.
Yeah. I saw a stat similar to that. We were 11 of 14 down the stretch, which is when it matters.
And I mean, did make from, sure from basically from the under four, or actually right before the under four, to the end of the game, 7 of 8.
Put teams away. I mean, that's, how I mean, that's away.
You can't ask for more than that. So, listen, our free throw shooting needs work. Because to tell you the truth, had we just shot our average, by the way, in this game, our team average on free throws, we would have put Marquette away probably by the under 8 in the second half. If we could shoot threes remotely, we would have put this team away probably at the under 12.
Yeah. You know what that does? It's funny. You know, in many years, that would be like something that would haunt me. But in reality, what it makes you feel like? It makes you feel like we have room to get better.
That's what exactly. And
I feel like there's still a higher ceiling on this team. I think the importance of the game, I've talked about the game, but I think the importance of this game for a couple of reasons, for this season and really for the last 25 years. I mean, for St. John's fans, for all of us St. John's fans who have been the diehard of diehards and have been to Wednesday night at the Big East to watch us lose, in the 7-10 game, and to, you know, watching us play go 1-15 in Mullen's first year, and watching, you know, the 0-4 team and like teams that just struggled, and rooting for them and keeping the hope alive and being there and going to these games and really suffering through Tuesday night. I know, look, I'm happy there's a lot of new fans and we hope the bandwagon is open. Please join as many people as we can. We love to have you. But for the diehard people that have been here for years and years and struggled and suffered through all these things, Tuesday night really felt like was for us. It was the night we've all always envisioned St. John's to be and wished and hoped that St. John's would be. I mean, the crowd was into it. It was packed. It was a big time game, and we captured and we won. And it's a tough dimension. And I think this game. So I think. Good for all of us that we got this moment. And that's why I think it was so exciting for all of us, because it was something we've dreamed of essentially for a long time.
We earned it.
And they came, we've certainly earned it. We've definitely paid that one down. But I think the importance of this game for the season wise, so that's, over the last, for the program, there's a huge thing. For this season, it also changes the dynamic for us. Had we lost that game, which we didn't, it changes whether, all right, we would have still been a tournament team probably, but we wouldn't have been as high a seed. Winning that game gives us a signature win, and what it's going to do is it raises him. If we win the Big East, we're not talking about making the tournament, being a 6 seed, 7 seed. Now, winning this game puts us at a level where we're talking about trying to be a 3 seed, 2 seed, anything up in those. God, I say it, 1 seed. If
come on, Craig.
I gotta say it. But no, we're 19-3. We've lost 3 games by 5 points. If we, look, we're not gonna win every game. I pray to God we do. Look, I pray we never lose again until April, whenever the hell the national championship is. But
we hope.
But the ceiling's raised. I think all of a sudden we have the possibility to really, really make a big, huge jump. And I think look,
you're 100% correct. I mean, you're absolutely right. Listen, we're always drinking the Kool-Aid, right? I mean,
for years.
When we were bad, we would have told you, we got a chance to make the tournament.
Absolutely.
But you're not off point on this one. The thing that I think is hard for me and most St. John's fans is kind of switching the mental gear into, we can win the Big East regular season.
Yeah.
We could be the 1 seed and play at noon on Thursday in the Big East tournament.
Yeah.
Which is not something we've remotely thought about for a long time. But not only are we in position currently, we've got a lead.
A two-game lead. Yeah.
With an opportunity on Friday to give a little bit more distance between a team who could potentially make a threat for that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you can count the number of important games St. John's has played, except for this year, probably on two fingers in the past 10 years. This week, both of these games, on Tuesday against Marquette and the Friday against UConn, monumental games for the season.
Monumental. I think I entirely agree with you. I think Tuesday was more important than Friday, in my personal opinion. The only reason why is because Tuesday was home. We had to win him against Marquette at home.
We did. You're right in that sense.
But now that this game's over, the UConn, here's the thing. If we win the UConn game,
win the UConn game, we're going to be a top 10 team.
If we win against UConn, we could be we could be a top 6-7 team. What happens is it validates everything that's come before. I think you exponentially jump because they're going to say, these guys are 19-3 and they've now beaten UConn on the road, Marquette at home. They lost it by, teams start looking at the figures of it. They lost to Baylor on buzzer beater three where they probably should have won anyway. All of a sudden it snowballs here.
It does. The only issue is that you need teams to lose in the top five.
That's fair.
Right? So that's the only thing that would prevent us from being top five. You look, Iowa State was 8. They've lost. Michigan State is 9. They've lost this week already. Marquette obviously lost. So right now we're looking at, if all else stayed the same and we beat UConn, 9. Houston, Florida.
First of all, just that you said that is insane. 9? St. John's is 9th best team in the country? 9th ranked team in the country? That's wild. We're in uncharted territory for us.
Sure. You need Duke, Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, Houston. They're not moving unless they lose, right?
Sure.
But to your point, we could be 7. We could be 8. We could be up there. Absolutely. The ability to have the conversation.
The fact that we're talking about this is
what a year, what a game. Look at us. Look at us. Who would have thought?
I can't believe this in my life.
All right. Spotlight player of the week time. Obviously middle of the week here, but my vote's Kadari Richmond because he almost had a triple double. So I think it's pretty much a layup this week. I know he was the spotlight player of the player. Was probably player of the week last week, but I think he's deserving once again. And if he keeps racking these up, I think what really is going to show. Actually, John Rothstein said this: it's not too late for Kadari Richmond to make a play at Big East Player of the Year. And wow, he's really started coming on, and he's really started making the case. And there's a chance it could happen.
Yeah, because it's a pretty open year. I mean, Cam Jones would be the guy, but we did a good job on him. And look, winning matters a lot. If he leads St. John's the rest of the way, all of a sudden, I could see it.
Absolutely. Speaking of Cam Jones, by the way, we didn't touch on that. We did a phenomenal job on Cam Jones. He had 15 points, but they were quiet 15. And the fact that we got him in foul trouble right away set the tone and kept. Now, they did have 24 bench points, which is nuts. But getting him out of the game early and quick, all of a sudden you could start to feel, okay, things are falling into place for us, which don't always necessarily fall into place for us. Sorry, I just want to make that point because I meant to say it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Look, spotlight player of the week this week, I think, has to be Kadari Richmond based off of the way he played against Marquette. Going to throw in the Providence game winner too to add that in. I don't know if we're counting that, but
that counts.
So it's got to be Kadari Richmond. And that's not to say that everyone else didn't play well too, because there's lots of guys you could pick out that had great weeks. But
RJ, Zuby, as always.
But I think Kadari's got to be it this week.
Yeah, I think no doubt. So congratulations, Kadari Richmond, got another one in the books for you. All right. So the win against Marquette brings us to 20-3 on the season. We are 11-1 in the Big East. First overall in the Big East. Absolutely incredible numbers. Just to give you our net ranking, 23 in the net. Even better in the KenPom, we are 15, which I think is well-deserved. I like the KenPom number better than the net ranking. And by the way, you talked about that win validating everything. The win against Marquette gives us a great time to tell all of the haters that they can just shove it. Because you haven't played anybody. You got no big wins. You only have one quad one win, blah, blah, blah. Not anymore. We beat the number 11 team in the country. So this next game, our other game this week.
To finish off a huge week here for St. John's.
Is against the UConn Huskies.
The worst. The worst.
And not only that, we have to travel to Storrs, Connecticut, where we will play at, what is it, Gavel Pavilion?
Gamble Pavilion. Yeah.
Well, whatever the hell it's called. I don't really care. They're not that good. 19 in the country. They come in 16-6 on the year, 8-3 in the Big East.
And this game is on Fox, which is nice. It's on FS1, which is big. It's an 8 o'clock Friday night game. Definitely going to get, I would imagine it's going to get pretty big TV numbers. It's UConn, St. John's. I think, it's a marquee game. It's a marquee time.
Yeah, I mean, the 8 o'clock on Friday is a great time for us. Like you said, it's a big time game. It deserves a big time matchup. I wish it was Saturday, but...
Yeah, but you know what? On Saturday, there's so many other things, whereas on Friday, we're kind of almost like a standalone. You know how John Rothstein was talking about standalone power conference game? I mean, it's not exactly standalone because there's a couple other games, but...
That's true. There are far less games on Friday than there are on Saturday. Funny enough, UConn's last game was also against Marquette. They won 77-69, but, it's a battle of who beat the Golden Eagles. So, hopefully... Our more recent victory, because they didn't play for a week now, gives us a little more juice heading into the game. I think it's tough.
Look,
going to Connecticut to be Connecticut is tough.
It's a tough game, look. And they're the two-time back-to-back national champions. So as much as we're in first place and whatever, it's still, we have to go through UConn. We have to take down UConn. You know what I mean? If you're going to go through this, we got to beat them. It's a tough game. So we got to, hopefully we can come out of it.
That's all we can hope for. All right. So they're led by Solo Ball. Great name. And Alex, funny name, Alex Caravan. He's from the team last year. They also are, unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately, but they're getting back.
I wish we'd come back next week,
I mean, I'm glad he's healthy, but wish he didn't come back against us. Liam McNeely, their best freshman.
Transfer, I thought.
No, best freshman. Yeah. He is, he hasn't played in a while because he got hurt. But it's unfortunate, I say, that he returns against us because he's been having a good year so far.
Yeah, it's 13.5. Points per game, 6 rebounds, so solid, very good.
Yeah, he's going to be a nice addition for them, and they've been waiting for him to get back, so it's not great timing. I would say it makes it tough because they're going to be all hyped up. It's on campus, the game. Obviously, the student section is going to be wild to have him back. It's just kind of another hurdle for us.
Yeah.
But
and they're going to be
a team that finds a way to win. So
I don't doubt us. I at this point, I really don't doubt us ever. I think, UConn is going to be juiced up, like you said, because we're also ranked first now in the Big East. And there's a lot of, back and forth there. So I think they're going to be juiced up to try to beat us at home. They want to prove their dominance and we need to go there and,
They are, and there's been a lot of talk about them not being as good of a team, and they're not as good of a team as they've been the past 2 years. Now,
true.
That's not to say they're not a good team.
Correct.
Right? It's just you had back-to-back years where you were the national champions, you were dominant the entire season, and they're not dominant. It happens, right? Teams fall off. So I would say it's an unfortunate narrative, but it is what it is.
It gives them a chip on their shoulder.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's unfortunate kind of for like us, because we're walking in feeling good about ourselves as we should. And they're like, oh, well, you know, this is, you guys shouldn't get the respect you deserve. If you pay attention to Big East Twitter, you see that quite a bit from the UConn fans, because they're the worst in the Big East.
Oh, shocker.
So, yeah, I mean, I talked about how bad Providence fans were last game, last episode. The UConn fans are worse.
The UConn fans are worse because also remember, UConn is, the rest of us feel like we're in this together.
Yeah.
As the Big East, we kind of all kind of have committed to each other and are going through this basketball and college basketball landscape together as a unit. And UConn is like, they're there, and it's helpful for them, but they'll leave us in a second. They don't really care about us. So, frankly, we don't really care about them.
Yeah, they don't care about the Big East one bit. So
it's helpful for us to have them. It's helpful for, it's certainly helpful for them to be here. It's the only reason they're program resurrected after the AAC.
A million percent. I mean, we saved them.
I'll die on that hill. If they had stayed in the AAC and Tulane, they wouldn't be having the success they had. So they need us much more than they think they do.
Needed us way more than we needed them.
For sure. And I think, look, they keep begging the Big 12. And the thing is, like, they'll look, that's what I mean by that. They're, out of all the Big East teams, that's the one, you know my feelings. I just feel like
we hate them. I mean, straight up, we hate them.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
So beating them on Friday would be even more sweet.
Oh, so sweet.
It would finish off a week that we haven't really had since the 84-85 season.
Yeah, I mean,
we'd be 10 in a row. We already matched our longest win streak since the 84-85 season with 9, but it would be. I don't even know how to react, to be honest. If we were to win both these games in 1 week,
I don't know what I would do. I can't even. I mean, like, I want to imagine it. I believe it. I hope. Oh, I pray.
Just having it in my head makes me happy. But the fact that it could actually happen, and if it were to happen, by the way, it 100% puts to bed all of the. We're cruising.
Oh, if we and if we do that, our spot as the favorite in the Big East to win the Big East is solidified heavily. And that's a different. It's And by the way, what I'm talking about, all of a sudden you're talking about twos and three seeds in the tournament, and not sixes and sevens.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
If we pull this off. Which we could, by the way.
I would argue. Sorry, not to cut you off.
No, yet. You're good.
I just think that it's not like we can't beat. We're certainly as good, if not better than them.
I think we are better than
the team, for sure.
I don't think they're as good as we are at all. Actually,
if we were at home, I would feel much more confident we could win.
I think that's the scary part. Yeah.
And plus, we were on such a hot streak. At some point, some of those things end, but maybe not. Hopefully not. Hopefully never end.
Hopefully not. But the fact that the on the road part is what scares me, because we're on such a high right now that I don't want anything to take that away. And my fear is a loss on the road to UConn, humbles us a bit in a negative way. It shouldn't, but I think it's just the old St. John's coming in, right? We're so afraid of a loss. Because it could be damaging, but in retrospect, this team can suffer a loss and completely be okay.
100%. 100%. I think it just also comes out of, like, we want them to win every single game. I want them to win every single game by 100 points. So
I want them to win every game until April, like you said.
Right,
but that's the goal of the season, isn't it?
That is the goal.
If only it was possible. It's not possible, but that's okay.
It is possible. Oh, yeah, it's possible. I don't doubt them. This team finds a way, man.
We're never out of the game.
Finds a way. The thing is, it's not like you can be like, oh, what, are you going to have a bad shooting night? I mean, they could. It really comes down for us. It comes down to our defense. And UConn will be a tough test for that, because UConn is their 10th in adjusted efficiency on offense. They're one of the top 10 offensive teams in the country. So our defense will get tested on
Friday night. They're also a good three-point shooting team.
which will test us again.
Which will test us because three-point shooting teams can go on big runs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that could be damaging to us if we're not hitting threes or shots generally.
But if we get into a rock fight with them, which is what we tend to do, right? We beat teams up. I think that plays to our advantage. We need this to be a low-scoring game. If we can, I don't think we can get into a shootout with them.
No.
Unless threes are sort of fall.
No, we want the game to be as ugly as possible.
Yeah. 60. That's we want a game in the 60s.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's how we win them.
Yeah.
I saw somebody on Twitter. I wish I could give them credit because it was a great tweet. They said, you know, everybody else in the Big East goes out and they're playing games where they score 100 points. And then you come play St. John's and they beat you with a metal baseball bat for 40 minutes. Phenomenal. Phenomenal tweet, whoever that was. And it's spot on, right? We wear you down. We, you know, that's our game. We want it to be ugly. We want it to be, you know, we're going to take 22 three-pointers and we're going to make two of them. But you better hope you hit 15 threes because our defense is going to stop you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and like we said, defense is a spiral up. I feel like as the defense goes well, you get more confident and then you get more intense on it and it becomes a pride thing. And for them, it is.
It certainly helps build in a different way than offense does.
Yep.
Alrighty. Well, let's hope the Johnnies get it done.
Let's hope we do. Let's hope we're talking about this next week as the best week in St. John's regular season.
Recent history.
Even distant history. I mean, I don't know every week, but this would be a pretty damn good week if we were to do this.
About as good as it gets. Alrighty. Well, for Craig, I'm Vincent. Go Johnnies. Keep chasing.